This is our last lesson in this series of Real Christianity, and we're now in lesson 13. We're going to look at the title of the message, or the lesson is Growth Points, the Growth Points, how faith in Jesus grows greater. So we're going to take a look at different areas in our Christian lives that we can actually grow. Okay, these areas we need to cultivate, and so that we could endeavor to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a good commandment, isn't it? But sometimes we ignore it in our lives. We just think that it's an automatic thing to grow in grace, right? Where every day of our lives we wake up and hope that today is going to be a good day. And today is going to be the day that we could experience a greater grace of our Lord, of our God. But truly, in reality, it doesn't happen that way, right? And so we're going to take a look at these the different areas in like I said, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a commandment, isn't it? It's not just an exhortation. It is a commandment. Grow in grace. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you evaluate your Christian life? From the time you got saved up to this very time, this very moment, can you say that you've actually grown, that you've actually matured in the faith? You see, if there's some doubt in your mind that I probably haven't, that's because we don't spend our time, our effort, and everything into obeying what God has given us, right? And so I think as we grow in our Christian lives, we should be sensitive, number one, to the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we should be sensitive that we have a responsibility to grow as a Christian. And that responsibility takes time, takes effort, and takes our whole being, and so that we can really say that we've grown in the Lord. Okay, so sometimes we think that our Christian life, when we get saved, that's all there is to it. What we get saved, guess what? Now we should we bear fruits. We have all this things that come with being a Christian. But no, it doesn't work that way, does it? Because we need to spend time and effort into growing. I hope by now you're understanding that this isn't the way God designed real Christianity. You see, a relationship with Jesus produces wonderful fruit, but guess what? Only over a long period of time. With great patience, plenty of personal attention, and some serious cultivation. And we're going to take a look at that, by the way. So the central message of this lesson is simply this: faith grows through intention and attention. Faith grows through intention and attention. Now, it must be our intention to really grow in our Christian life. Is that your intention? If that is your intention, then really we must work at it. We must put work into it, right? To grow, what do we need to grow? We need to be a church. We need to pray. We need to read God's word. And all this, by the way, takes some kind of work on our part. Because we cannot just grow really by staying where we're at, doing what we want to do, and not care about what our God is telling us in his word. The cultivation of your faith, like a garden, will bring forth something evident. something that's tangible, something people can see, and real in a way of Christ-like attitudes. Now, we should already manifesting Christ-likeness in our behaviors, in our lifestyles. Guess what? You will desire to obey, and you will obey. You will obey, not because you have to, but because you want to. Growing in grace and walking with Jesus will produce new desires and new doings, doing new things. Your values will change and your behaviors will change. We've always talked about behavioral, okay? And this is not the way we should manifest our love for Christ, and it's all behavior. No, it isn't. It's also our love of Christ is all wanting, desiring what God wants in us. Because sometimes what God wants in us, if we understand that, sometimes it's not what we want for ourselves. And so we try to withdraw ourselves from that direction. So in other words, your faith is not merely an intangible internal work. Faith isn't invisible or inactive. Biblical faith, guess what, is always effectual and active, and it produces visible transformation and obedience for us to Jesus. You see, belief produces behavior. Now, I think there's truth to it. What you believe will change how you behave. Right? You agree? What you believe will change how you behave. James chapter 2 and verse 18 says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works." What does it say? "Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Okay, so if you say you have faith, you should manifest that by what you do. Even by what you say, how you say things, how you talk. That's exactly, the world is actually watching us. Okay? And if there's no difference between what they see in us and what they see in others, especially outside of the faith, guess what? Now we have our testimony, our effectiveness in witnessing to people is low or non-existent. Right? So if you have been wondering, what's my role in this? Where does my effort come in? This is it. God's word has a lot to say about the good works to which God has called you and I. His work in you is designed to what? Cultivate fruit. Right? In John chapter 5, verse 24, it says there, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth that him that sent me hath shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death." Help me here. The fruit should remain. That ye should bring forth fruits, and that your fruit should remain. Where is that? That you should bring forth fruits, and that your fruit should remain. It's in the Bible. Okay. It's in the Bible, and I hope you find that. Okay. Let me know when you find it. All right. So, Scripture, the Bible is clear that God calls you to a holy life as well as a fruitful life. So it's not just being holy, separate from sin unto God, but we should also be fruitful in our Christian life. That's exactly what he said, that we need to be fruitful. Okay? So he calls you to good works, not for salvation, but as a product of your salvation. Okay, so we don't do good works because we want to be saved. But because we're already saved, that we do good works. That's exactly what it's talking about here. A lifestyle that expresses your faith and exalts your Savior is pleasing to God. The more you understand grace, the more you will be motivated to yield to Jesus and let Him live His life through you, through us. Okay? For Ephesians 2, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So we were created unto good works. But guess what? We still have that free will, right? God has given us that free will. And we need to exercise that will according to the Word of God, right? According to what He says. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Make you increase and abound in love one toward another. That's growth. As we live our lives, as we go on with our relationship with the Lord, we need to increase. We need to grow in our faith. And it says there, abound in love one toward another and toward all men. Right? These verses indicate that a growing faith, guess what, takes time and takes attention. Right? It's intentional, and guess what? We need to pay attention to number one, to our responsibilities. We have responsibilities to each other, and that's to encourage one another. Okay? So, there's six areas that we can actually grow, okay, cultivate in our growth, in our Christian lives. Number one, communication from the Word. Communication from the Word. You see, there's two ways that we can communicate. Okay, that God communicates with us. Okay, number one is through our ears. And secondly, through our eyes. Through our ears, Romans 10, 17 says what? "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's through our ears, right? And 1 Thessalonians 2, 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, right? Received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." 1 Peter 2, verse 2, "As newborn babes," what? "Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." So that's through the ears. What about through the eyes? The Bible says in John 5:39, it says there, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." It says, search the scriptures. You're using your eyes, right? And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, what does it say there? "Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." What? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So we communicate, God communicates through us, through His word, through the ears, through our ears, and through our eyes. You see, God has ordained that the first and most effective method of growing our faith is to receive the communicated word of God. We have the word of God. Now, we're lucky here in Canada and most of the developed countries, we have the Word of God, the Bible, that we can look, that we can read, that we can study. But a lot of countries still don't have the Bible. They don't have the Bible, and so there's no way they can really grow from in this area, communication from the Word. Okay, but we're lucky here that we have the communicated word of God. God's word is alive with infinite truth. And hearing it well taught will make it come alive to you. Hearing the truth will change your life as nothing else. Number two, community with believers. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling for ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Just reading this verse alone tells us exactly that some do love the church, as Christ loved the church. Some are also trying to stay away from church. And it is our responsibility as Christians, and as we understand the importance of church in our Christian life, that we should also exhort those people that have gone out of the church and are no longer churching. Right? They're no longer going to church. It says there, for not forsaking the assembling for ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some are forsaking the assembling. They come out of church. They probably go have their services in their homes, what we call a church house, right? Okay, so a house church, but really the word church is something that's formal, and that's something that's structured, isn't it? What is the definition of church? You see, Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it, right? So if Christ loved the church, aren't we supposed to be, as his people, should love the church as well? But the trouble with us, the challenge with us, is that we don't recognize the importance of the church in our lives. So we just ignore it. If Sunday comes, guess what? That's okay. They won't look for me. There's a lot more people out there, all right? So if it's just me missing, they won't look for me. Yeah, we won't look for you. The church won't look for you. But what about your commitment to God? Your commitment to Christ? Every Sunday, when the doors open, we should be here. You should be here. Because the church is important to our Lord Jesus Christ. And it should also be important to us. Right? But exhorting one another, if we see some people that are not coming to church regularly, we should exhort them to come to church. That's exactly what the Bible says, right? Not forsaking the assembling for ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Guess what? What day is approaching? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, because of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we no longer come to assembling of ourselves, right? But the thing is, it's important for us to assemble. Why? To grow. Now, we as Christians, if we endeavor to grow in our Christian lives, we should endeavor to grow in our church attendance. If you were just coming to church sporadically in the past, guess what? Because we now realize the importance of the church to our Lord Jesus Christ, that it should also be important to us. The thing is, it's not just important to us, but it's important to all Christians, right? And so when we come together in the church, guess what? Now we encourage each other. There's a fellowship going on. Right? And so in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You see, exhort, verse 25, by the way, in Hebrews 10:25, exhorting has the idea of giving an advice or make urgent appeals. So if we see them that are not coming to church more regular they should, guess what? We should exhort them or encourage them or advise them and make this urgent appeal that they need to come to church. Not because we don't want to see them to church. Yes, that's one good thing, by the way. But it's their relationship with Christ, because they need to grow. But as Christians, though, we need to grow in this area of church attendance. Okay, so number two, community with believers. Number three is communion with Jesus. Communion with Jesus. Psalms chapter number 1, verses 2 and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate therein day and night. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the waters of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. So the first growth are both, two growths are both external. Okay? But at some point, cultivating your own faith becomes personal. It is personal, right? So, as a means of illustration, all children, when born, require constant attention. Their health and safety is completely a product of external care. They are fed, they are changed, they are dressed and nurtured by others, the parents. But eventually, they will grow and care for themselves. Do they still need parents and family when they're grown? They still do, don't they? Right? Yes, but at the same time, their care is not singularly dependent upon others now. They can look upon them, they can look after themselves. That's what growth is talking about here. That sometimes, like in the Bible, though, newborn babes are fed with milk. Desire the sincere milk of the word. But as we grow in our faith, now we slowly have a meat diet, right? A solid diet. Why? That's because we're growing. In the Christian life, we used to just stay with the simple verses, the simple doctrines. But as we grow, we now understand more of the important doctrines that we should believe in as Christians, right? And so, do we believe God? Do we know God? You say you believe God, but do you know God? Do you know God that intimately? Who is God to you? You see, that's what we need to sell. That's why we need to study our doctrines of God, right? Doctrines of the Son, Jesus Christ, doctrines of the Holy Spirit. That type of thing. We need to grow in these areas, and as Christians, we need to develop this growth pattern. Okay, we should not be stagnant in our Christian lives. So number four, cataclysmic events. This is a good word, but I will have to use it. You have your outline. Cataclysmic events. You see, nothing happens to the Christian that God does not allow, does it? Nothing happens to the Christian that God does not allow. He knows exactly what you are going through, what we are, you and I are going through. Think about Job, right? He knew exactly because he allowed it. He allowed Satan to do his thing with Job. But he knew, but he never influenced. That's exactly what's happening to us as well, what he's doing to us. He knows exactly what's going to happen to us, our reaction, just because he is God. But he doesn't influence that reaction. It's still up to us. That's what we call our free will, right? So every hardship or trial will serve some growing and glorifying purpose of God. Real Christianity isn't a problem-free life. He didn't promise that in the Bible. Christianity is not a problem-free life, but it's a promise-filled life. Do you know any promise of God in this word? Can you claim any promise from his word? See, that's what he's talking about. A promise-filled life, but if we don't know those promises, is it any good to us? No, it's not. That's why we need to grow in our faith, right? Real Christianity, you will have problems and hardships, but now that you have a relationship with Jesus, you will no longer face those problems alone. You will still face those problems, yes, but now you're facing those problems with your Lord, with our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're no longer alone. You have his presence to comfort, his truth to guide, his promises to claim, and his wisdom to see the bigger picture. That's exactly what he gives us. That's why the question is, will you allow this events, cataclysmic events, to flatten you or to fortify you? These negative things, this adversities that come to you, your struggles, your hardships in life, are you going to allow it to flatten you as a Christian, or are you going to allow that to make you stronger, to fortify you? Will you see the events in your life through the eyes of faith or through the eyes of distress? When you face calamity, consider this. Whatever happens to me, whatever happens to you, is no mistake by God. He allows it to happen, and he makes us stronger. You see, sometimes there's a song that says, and it's so true, that sometimes we go through the storm. Sometimes what God does is he calms the storm for his child. But most of the times, he allows the storm to go through. But guess what he does? He calms his child. He calms his child. So again, that's something that we need to remember. Because we always have our best interest in God's mind, in God's eyes. He always has our best interests in mind. Okay, so there are carefully designed. Carefully designed and allowed by God to bring about growth and maturity in our lives. In the most cataclysmic events, God is doing a work in you and through you. The question is, will you choose to see these events through the eyes of faith and hope? Number five, a compassionate service. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That word addicted is always used negatively, right? And addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, addicted to anything. That's the negative connotation. But in this verse, this addicted is actually used on a positive sense. It means enthusiastically devoted. You see, enthusiastically devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. You see, he expects us to do our part, do what we're supposed to do. In Romans chapter number 12, verse 11, it says there, not slothful in business, what? Fervent in spirit. What's the third phrase? Serving the Lord, right? Romans 12, 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The question is, are we serving the Lord? Are we serving the Lord? Are we that busy that we can no longer serve the Lord? When you were saved, you were given a gift of service. Each one of us have that, has something, a gift of something, right? There's something that God enabled you to do in the local church for the edification and encouragement of others. There's some ability that God has given you for the express purpose of serving Him and magnifying Him. But the question is, do you know exactly what area of service you can go into to serve God in the local church? Or you're saying, well, the pastor is there, assistant pastor is there, the workers are there, let them do the work. Right? Let them do the work. They can do it. They're capable of it. So I don't have to do the work. Well, not slothful in business. Slothful has the idea of being lazy, right? Being lazy. Fervent in spirit. Now, that should motivate us. Fervency in the spirit. And guess what? What motivates us to serve the Lord? It's our love for the Lord, isn't it? That's what motivates us. So if the Lord is important to you and He is your Lord, right? If He is your Lord, then He is important. Does He have the preeminence in our lives? That's the question. If He doesn't have that preeminence in our lives, yeah, it's okay not to serve Him. It's okay not to do anything for Him. It's okay not to be in church. It's okay not to be to fellowship with the others, with the other believers. It's okay not to read His word. It's okay not to pray. But really, think about it. Is the Lord important to you? If the Lord is important to you, let's do all the things that He's asked us to do. You see, it says there, Romans 12:9, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Number six, continual cultivation. Continual cultivation. See, this is an idea of we as a Christians, if we've decided to serve the Lord, to never quit. To never quit. Why? Because it's all worth it. We're serving our Lord, and at the same time, we're reaping the benefits of serving God. Right? We're given a crown of rejoicing. Right? Several crowns that we can present to God as we face Him, as we come face to face with Him. So, your heart is a field, and God is the gardener. Your faith has a lot of growing and fruit bearing ahead. You see, in James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her work, perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So sometimes as the continual cultivation, we need to continuously cultivate that love that He has given us. Okay, because if we don't exercise that faith, if we don't exercise that love, it's nothing, right? It's nothing. But guess what? As you exercise that, you need patience to do that, right? Patience, perseverance, okay, and diligence, I think. So for you to Hebrews 10:36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You see, being a Christian is not an automatic, you know, everything goes well and dandy. Right? No, it isn't. But it takes time. And it takes much of our patience. Right? But I'll tell you this, though. Don't pray for patience, because you might get it. Okay, that was a joke. The four D's of to continue in our cultivation, to continue in our work, right? We need to have that desire to serve God. Secondly, we need to have that determination. We're determined to serve God regardless. no matter what happens, we're there to serve God. We need to have that discipline. Because if you don't have that discipline, guess what? It's easy for you to take that detour, right? You experience some adversities. Guess what? A door gets slammed on your face serving God, door knocking. Guess what? Oh, this is hard. I'm not gonna go through this again, right? Nobody would ever slam my face to their door to my face. Why? Because I'm quitting. Right? So we need to have that discipline and that diligence, continuously doing what you're doing. So, and the thing too is that we should never get ourselves distracted from our service to the Lord. Because sometimes what happens, if we look at them, we get distracted. Like Peter, right? He saw Jesus Christ walking on water. What happens? He said, "Lord, let me come to thee." He said, "Come." The Lord said, "Come." What did he do? He was the first man to walk on water, right? He stepped down out of the boat into the water and walked on the water. That's a good experience. However, he got distracted. He got distracted. He got his eyes off Jesus. And what happened? When we get distracted, we start to sink, drown. That's why we need to always have Jesus Christ, that end in our sight, like the athletes. Hebrews 10:35, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." That's another thing. We should have that confidence. Do you have confidence in God? Maybe you say, "Well, I haven't seen my prayers answered yet." That's why you don't have that confidence in God. But really, really, your confidence in God, whether you have confidence in God or not, does not remove the fact that he's always there for you. That he's always doing something for you. Okay? As a matter of fact, when we're down and out, guess what? He's carrying us. He carries us. Okay? So, as a conclusion, if your faith rests in Jesus, guess what? It will never fail, because he will never fail. Right? Real Christianity is a faith journey. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. He's not going to explain it all to you, whatever happens to you. He may not explain it to you, right? But guess what? Have that confidence that he cares for you. God loves you. Okay? And he has your best interest in mind. But through it all, you have guarantees from God's promises, because he is faithful that promised. Do you believe God? First of all, do you know him? Do you know God? Do you know who he is? Who is God in your life? Right? And God's promises always, always can be depended upon.